Coming up next on the Holistic Wealth Podcast.
Now, I love marketing, so I want to be involved in the marketing. But if I take my eye off the ball for fundraising, for strategy, for hiring, and spending all this time on this marketing campaign, my company could lose out in the long run. Or more important, my family could lose out. So instead, even if I think I'm good at marketing, even if I love marketing, let's face it, we think we're good at things, but really arrogant to think that we're the best person possible. There's probably never a time when I'm the best person for the job. There's always somebody I could find that's better.
You're listening to the Holistic Wealth Podcast with host Keisha Blair, author of Holistic Wealth and founder of the Institute on Holistic Wealth. And now, here's your host, Keisha Blair.
Today, we have a very special guest with us. We have Dave Kirpin, a longtime friend and supporter of Holistic Wealth and the work he was quoted in my book, Holistic Wealth. And it's so great to have Dave here today. He's a serial entrepreneur, one of the top influencers on LinkedIn, a global keynote speaker, and he has a brand new book out called Get Over Yourself: How to Lead and Delegate Effectively for More Time, More Freedom, and More Success. Welcome to the show, Dave. It's awesome having you here.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to see you again.
Great to see you. And so, Dave, like, I'm just going to get into it because I think your book is so relevant as we're coming up to Global Holistic Wealth Day on April 9th and Global Holistic Wealth Week. And as we talk about work-life balance and leadership in your company, your organization, and trying to just live that holistically wealthy lifestyle. So, Dave, can you tell us about the book? Because with the rise of remote work, the gig economy, AI, social media, the boundaries between work and our lives have become so blurred. It's honestly hard for people to keep up, to distinguish, and to keep those boundaries between the two. So I know your book has time-tested strategies for how people can manage this if they're scaling a business, starting a business, or even in their own organizations as leaders. So I just wanted to start by getting your inspiration for this.
You know, I've been in business, a whole bunch of businesses for 20 years now, and I've encountered literally thousands of small business owners and entrepreneurs in my journey. And I think the number one thing that they struggle with is delegation, is giving, taking work off their own plates. And nobody ever on their deathbed says, I wish I had worked more. But countless people on their deathbed say, I wish I had spent more time with family. I wish I had prioritized my friends. I wish I had had more freedom to pursue my passions and spend time with the people that I cared about the most. So this book, for me, is a reminder to those folks to take advantage of the time that we have while it's not too late, and to figure out ways to delegate our work, to delegate our tasks, to delegate our projects, so that we can have that precious, precious time with our family, with our loved ones.
Yeah, no, and that's so absolutely important, Dave. I don't know if you know, but in the new and expanded book, I talked about my husband starting to die at work. Like, he started literally dying at work. He had a lineup of colleagues at his door, couldn't get out. His tumor ruptured, started to bleed. And by the time we got to the hospital, he died. This is why your work and your book is so important, because I feel like within organizations, leaders need the skills to not only manage themselves, but to also manage the workload within teams and to see, well, if there's one person being overworked, how do I deal with that to protect that person from burnout and potentially death? Let's face it, some of these decisions at work are life and death decisions. And that's why I just wanted to bring this example forward so that people realize the depths and the magnitude of how important this is. So, Dave, like, what strategies can leaders use to honestly create this type of balanced life?
Yeah, well, the first thing and the most important thing that I tackle in the book is helping people get over their own issues up here in their minds. That's what holds us back the most. It's less about how to do it, because we kind of know in the bottom of our hearts that we need to do it. And we kind of know there's a lot of systems out there and tools out there to help us. But it's those mindset issues that keep us from delegating. It's our own fear issues and trust issues and need to control and perfectionism issues those are the biggest challenges. So I write about how to really embrace our own fears and distrust issues and need to control, and then let them go so that we can move forward. And then once we can move forward, we can get to a place where we can use a variety of different systems and tools to actually delegate and follow up. I have a model called the SHARE model that talks about what we should focus on and what we should delegate. The SHARE model says we should focus on three things as leaders and three things alone: setting the strategy, that's the S, hiring the right people, that's the H, and assuring access to capital and resources to get the job done, that's the A, making sure there's enough money in the bank for the team. After that, we need to R, remind ourselves that there's somebody else that's better for any given task, and then E, empower that person to do the task.
That's amazing. So the acronym and the SHARE model sounds amazing. And Dave, I don't know if I can ask you to go through just quickly and just share an example, because I'm thinking about the access to capital. That's a big one. Empowering employees is another big one. And you know what? Hiring the right people. So I don't want to just pick out the ones, the three that, you know, resonate with me. I know the audience wants to hear like a little bit of how they can be empowered to then empower others with that SHARE model. Is it possible to just provide just a bit more on an example for each?
Sure. You know, that SHARE model details those three things that we need to do. And they're not easy. Everything outside of those three things should be delegated. For example, let's say I have a marketing project, a marketing campaign. Now, I love marketing, so I want to be involved in the marketing. But if I take my eye off the ball for fundraising, for strategy, for hiring, and I'm spending all this time on this marketing campaign, my company could lose out in the long run. Or more important, my family could lose out because I'm focused on marketing. So instead, even if I think I'm good at marketing, even if I love marketing, I need to hire someone, find someone great. And there are, let's face it, we think we're good at things, but really arrogant to think that we're the best person possible. Yeah. There's probably never a time when I'm the best person for the job. There's always somebody I could find that's better and smarter and more talented in this particular area for the job. So if I hire someone and empower them to do the marketing campaign, it might not go exactly as I planned. It might not be done to the 100% standard in my mind, but if it's 90% and it goes well, and I have that extra time to focus on those other three things or to focus on my family, well, then it's worth it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I love that example because you're absolutely right. I think a lot of entrepreneurs, including myself, we focus a lot on the aspects that we enjoy, that we're passionate about. Marketing is one where I know a lot of people do enjoy. And then the areas that we're weakest in, we never, ever seem to place enough emphasis on. Like the other example, or like the other part of the acronym where you mentioned access to capital, scaling that money aspect of the financial piece of the business, or even getting sales, that is critical. So Dave, I just have the question about scaling and growing and that financial piece.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, you know, we're responsible for our own success. So when we're weak in certain areas or when we have systemic challenges against us, it's really important to bring in help. That's where that empowering others and delegation comes from. A lot of folks have told me that, well, what if I can't afford somebody? What if I need to fundraise? I can't afford somebody to bring in to help me raise money. And, you know, to that I answer, we can always afford to bring in a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people are, again, a little too arrogant or a little too stubborn. They want 100% of the pie, but, you know, 50% or 40% or even 10% of a much, much larger pie that's actually successful is much better than 100% of a failure.
Right.
100% of a company that doesn't scale, that doesn't raise capital, that doesn't get anywhere. And so if you're listening and you have some weak areas in those first three, in those three things in the SHARE model, including fundraising, I implore you to bring on a partner, an equity partner. Find somebody that's passionate about what you're doing, that's better at fundraising than you are, and share some of that pie with them. In my career, I've been fortunate enough to have wonderful partners, my wife, close friends, my mentor, and I haven't owned 100% of the pot, but I've had my partners to help me scale, to help me fundraise, and to help me do these things. And for me, again, it's much better to have a smaller piece of a bigger pie that's successful and that allows me to spend time with my children than to be hustling all the time, you know, to own 100% of something that's much smaller.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I just remembered a while ago as you were speaking how you fundraised your own wedding. Like, you actually have deep roots in this area. And I'd love for you to just touch on that a bit about the innovative ways, because I'm sure even at that time when you did it, you know, most people would have never thought of doing that. So whether it's a book or another project that you have, how can entrepreneurs find innovative ways, just gleaning from lessons from your experience on fundraising and kind of thinking out of the box?
Yeah, it's funny because I'm writing an article now that you didn't even know about the five most innovative, outrageous PR stunts I've ever done. And, you know, I'll tell you about the wedding, but what I'm doing for Get Over Yourself right now, I have a friend that has a company, a wonderful company called Open Fortune, where he supplies Chinese food restaurants with fortune cookies, and he's putting fortunes inside fortune cookies in all the Chinese food restaurants in Manhattan for the next couple of weeks. And everyone's fortune will talk about delegating and getting over themselves.
Wow.
And promote the book. So that's a pretty fun, unique way that we're marketing my new book. My wedding, as you mentioned, my wife and I couldn't afford a large wedding, but we wanted to have a very big wedding and invite all of our friends and family. So we partnered with a minor league baseball team. We pitched them to create a sponsored wedding promotion, and we ended up reselling our wedding vendors on sponsoring the game in exchange for providing wedding goods and services. So 1-800-Flowers.com sponsored our flowers. Smirnoff sponsored our alcohol. David's Bridal sponsored our bridesmaids' gowns and wedding dress, and Entenmann sponsored our desserts, and we were able to raise $100,000 for an amazing wedding. And to your point, you can always get creative. It's your job. That A is important. Assuring access to capital is your job. That's something that's very, very hard to delegate. So thinking creatively, thinking out of the box, thinking how you can provide value for others to help generate the capital that it takes to build and scale a business, that's very, very important work.
I absolutely agree. And thanks for emphasizing that that's one piece that you absolutely cannot delegate. So Dave, like, just getting more into the book, because it's such a needed resource today for so many reasons in terms of leadership. If you were to, let's say, pick 3 to 5 key time-tested strategies, I know you mentioned the share model, that's a big part of it, but any other examples or any other lessons from the book that you would want to leave with readers or for people to remember? Are there others that you would draw on?
Sure, sure. So after the share model comes the 5 C's of empowered delegation. So I do love acronyms. So the 5 C's of empowered delegation are to 1, choose carefully the person that you delegate. 2, coach them. Don't think of yourself as a manager. Think of yourself as a coach. Check in regularly to provide support for them, and then congratulate them on success along the way. And it's very important to do all of these things in order to delegate well.
And that sounds so important, because the other piece of it that I wanted to ask you about, and I just want to remember before we close this out, but inspiring others on the team to be, in terms of loyalty, in terms of passion for the work and the project at hand, which is such a critical piece, I find. But how do you instill the kind of passion in others that you have for yourself for this project or business?
It's a great question. It's hard. You know, I keep things very positive, and I use a lot of personality assessment tools to help understand what motivates others. I love the Enneagram. There's an Enneagram copy, my favorite Enneagram assessment, inside the book. Because the things that motivate me aren't necessarily the same things that motivate you. So we're motivated by 9 different core motivations. And so understanding your teammate, your team, the people that report to you, and understanding what motivates them is very, very important. And frankly, like I said, sometimes different. So, you know, I can try to be a very positive, a forward-thinking, inspirational leader, but I really need to understand the person at the other end and what drives them. Is it achievement? Is it connection? Is it peace? Is it detachment? Is it learning? Is it excitement? And the more I understand them, the better. I like to apply the platinum rule. The golden rule is do unto others as we would like done to us. The platinum rule is do unto others as they would like done to them. That the platinum rule requires really understanding the people on your team and what motivates them.
Yeah, no, and that's amazing, Dave. And I mean, you wrote the book on likable business, likable social media. You wrote the whole series on that. So I'm just flipping the script just to say, like, if you want to be a likable leader, how do you become that likable person to then inspire others?
Yeah, so I have 11 traits of likable leadership, ranging from listening well to having gratitude, being transparent, being authentic. And I believe that long gone are the days of control and domination-based leadership. Much better to have a friendlier, open, transparent leadership style.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Dave, thank you so much for sharing those insights with us. Your book is such an important resource for the times we're in. And there it is. Get over yourself and everyone. Get your copy. The book launched yesterday. Yesterday was the pub day for this amazing book. And get your copy. Dave, where can people find copies and find you on social media and your website?
Thanks. GetOverYourselfBook.com has links to all of the major retailers. It's available in bookstores everywhere. Published by Ben Bella and distributed by Random House. I'm delightful, wonderful publishers that we have. And there's a free chapter available at GetOverYourselfBook.com as well. And I'm easily available on social media with my name, Dave Kirpin. Happy to help anyone that has questions or wants some free help.
That is so true about Dave. He is absolutely like that. And so everyone listening in, get your copies and read the book. Share this episode with your friends and your network. And of course, thank you for joining us again, Dave. Thank you so much for sharing those insights and being here with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Holistic Wealth Podcast with Keisha Blair is brought to you by...
Have you joined the Institute on Holistic Wealth? If you haven't already, what are you waiting for? Choose your membership plan at the Institute on Holistic Wealth /memberships to join. As a member, you'll get access to free worksheets, advice, coaching, and an intentional design workshop. As you start to live a more holistically wealthy lifestyle, you'll want to stay for a very long time. So go to Institute on Holistic Wealth /memberships to join. If you haven't read the book yet, pick up a copy of the award-winning best-selling Holistic Wealth 36 Life Lessons to help you recover from disruption, find your life purpose, and achieve financial freedom.